We have much for which to praise the Lord for this day. Very happy Thanksgiving to each one this morning, and a very special thank you to those in our congregation who decorated the sanctuary and the vestibule to remind us of this wonderful Thanksgiving Sunday. For this we praise God. This morning's message is going to take a little different route than it usually does. I'm going to share with you three stories, maybe four, three or four stories, of course, going to refer to Scripture and also conclude with a challenge. So then, on this Thanksgiving Sunday, I'm reminded of an evangelist by the name of Billy Sunday. Now, we perhaps all have heard the name Billy Graham, but before Billy Graham, there was a Billy Sunday. And Billy Sunday, he died in 1935 at the age of 72. Billy Sunday was an American evangelist, but before that, he was a baseball player. He was an outfielder, and he did this on a professional basis. He played for 8 seasons in the National League, and then he became perhaps the most influential American evangelist in the first 2 decades of the 20th century. Billy's wife's name was Helen, but she was officially known as Ma Sunday. Ma Sunday. She was a partner in his ministry, and on November the 19th in 1935, Billy Sunday suffered a heart attack, and he died suddenly in Ma Sunday's arms. Ma Sunday was devastated, and in the days that followed, she felt herself spiraling into a state of depression. Then one day, a group of Christians from Buffalo, they asked her to come. They wanted to hold a memorial service for her husband, and they asked her to come and share a few words. And quite frankly, she felt she could not do it. There was no way that she could do this. And then a thought came to her heart, and the thought was, why don't you write down and name all the things for which you are thankful? So this is what she decided to do. And then she attended the event, and let me read to you what she said. Folks, it is surprising how many things God can reveal to you to be thankful for if you really want to know and ask him to help you. I had no idea there were so many. But when I prayed and asked God to help me write them down, then came into my mind one after another, and the very first one was, if Billy had to go, oh, how thankful I was to God Almighty that he called him away in an instant. He just cried out to me, I'm getting dizzy, Ma, and he was gone. How wonderful to be here one second and up in heaven the next, never knowing any real pain or any real suffering of that type. I thank God was good to take Billy that way, and I thank him for it. Ma Sunday went on to list a number of the things for which she was thankful, and it lifted her depression, lifted her discouragement. And on this Thanksgiving Sunday, there are 3 areas that we're going to look at. Thanksgiving, or thankfulness, among other things, is the opposite of discontentment. Thanksgiving, or thankfulness, among other things, is the opposite of anxiety. And it is also a corrective for sadness and grief. This is something you and I can keep in mind on this Thanksgiving Sunday. Thankfulness is the opposite of discontentment. In many ways, life is hard, and every day can be challenging. You may be wondering whether or not you are able to cope with whatever's in your mind at this point. Perhaps another person is vexing you, or perhaps you've been maligned or criticized. We don't like criticism. Even sometimes when somebody says it's constructive criticism, we still don't like criticism. That's just a fact of life. Perhaps you've been discouraged with what appears to be unanswered prayer. I read a devotional this morning of a well-known evangelist, and he said he prays every day, and he prays the same things over and over again. He adds new things. Each day goes on. It took 13 years for God to answer one prayer and 25 years for him to answer another. And he had the question in his mind, why did it take God so long? Well, the purpose of this was to prepare this person's heart for an answer to prayer, and it came. So if you are discouraged because your prayer isn't being answered, keep on praying. God is hearing. God will answer that prayer in his time and according to his way. Perhaps, though, you're feeling like a person in the Old Testament, a prophet by the name of Elijah, and he reached the point of being greatly discontented. Let's review Elijah just for a moment. When we think about him, he ended up under a broom tree in the desert, and he was greatly discouraged. Now, he had just gone through a magnificent exercise showing the spirit and the power of Almighty God. In fact, sometime you might want to read the whole story in 1 Kings chapter 18. But here was Elijah facing all of the false prophets of Baal, B-A-A-L, and he challenged them. And it's a wonderful story to read. At the end of all this, God showed his power, and the prophets of Baal were not only defeated, but they were killed. Now then, following that, Elijah had a state of depression. And you might wonder why. Well, let's take a look at God's word as we find in 1 Kings chapter 19, verses 1 to 5. 1 Kings chapter 19, verses 1 to 5. If you're looking at the Pew Bible, it's on page 351. So let us hear the word of God. Now Ahab told Jezebel. Now Ahab was the king, and Jezebel was his queen. They were evil people. Jezebel was, she worshiped pagan gods, and she was absolutely vile and terrible. So now Ahab, the king, told Jezebel, the queen, everything Elijah had done and how he had killed the prophets, all the prophets, that is the prophets of Baal, with the sword. So Jezebel sent a message to Elijah to say, may the gods deal with me, be it ever so severely. Now, you notice the word is plural. May the gods deal with me. There's only one God. There are not many gods, but for the pagan world, there were many gods. And so she was praying to pagan gods. Let me repeat that. May the gods deal with me, be it ever so severely, if by this time tomorrow I do not make your life, Elijah, like that of one of them. Elijah was afraid and ran for his life. When he came to Beersheba in Judah, he left his servant there while he himself went a day's journey into the desert. He came to a broom tree, sat down under it, and prayed that he might die. I have had enough, Lord, he said. Take my life. I am no better than my ancestors. Then he lay down under the tree and fell asleep. All at once, an angel touched him and said, get up and eat. And we read the rest of the story that God provided for him. Elijah prayed a prayer. If you know the rest of the story of Elijah, he never did die. That was his prayer at that time. But he didn't die. He was taken up in a whirlwind at a later time to be with God. So physically, he did not go through death. Now, there are those who believe, I'm one of them, that Elijah and probably Moses or Enoch will be the two witnesses that will be here during the tribulation period. And the fact they may even be on earth now, that's a possibility. And then Elijah hasn't died yet. And he will die. These two witnesses are going to be killed in the front of everybody. And so he'll finally get his wish. I think that's perhaps the longest prayer that's been unanswered in all of Scripture. But nonetheless, even people who have been used mightily by God can find themselves discouraged or upset or discontent one way or another. One day, a man decided to write to his pastor. His pastor had been talking about being thankful. And this is what he said. I am thankful for the clothes that fit a little too snug because it means I have enough to eat. For all the complaining I hear about the government because it means I have freedom of speech. That's the way it is now. How long that'll be, I don't know. Thankful for the alarm that goes off early in the morning hours because it means that I'm alive. I'm thankful for the teenager who's not doing dishes but is watching TV because that means he's at home and not out on the streets. I'm thankful for the taxes that I pay because it means that I'm employed. But of course for us, even if we're unemployed, we still pay taxes. I'm thankful for the lawn that needs mowing, the windows that need cleaning, and gutters that need fixing, because it means I have a home. I'm thankful for weariness at the end of the day, because it means I have been capable of working hard. And I'm thankful for the parking lot I find at the end of the parking lot, the parking spot that I find at the end of the parking lot, because it means I am capable of walking and I have been blessed with transportation. It's amazing the number of items for which you and I can be thankful. Thankfulness is the opposite of discontentment. Thankfulness is also the opposite of anxiety. The scripture says in Paul's letter to the Philippians, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God." What a marvelous message that is. But it has a very personal application, not to me, but to someone that you know about. We all know about Ruth Graham, the wife of Billy Graham. One night, as Ruth was traveling abroad, God used this verse to touch her heart. At that time, some of her children were rebelling against Ruth and her dad and against the Lord. And Ruth awoke early in the morning, and she was just so concerned about her children and about this one child moving toward adulthood even now. And so she looked at the clock, and it was 3 o'clock in the morning, and she knew she couldn't go back to sleep. So she went down to the kitchen, and she made herself a cup of coffee. And as she was there, she was thinking about all of this, and all of a sudden, these thoughts came to her mind. The Lord said, "Quit studying the problems and start studying the promises." Quit studying, worrying about, being anxious about the problems, and start studying the promises. Well, opening her Bible, she came to this verse that we read. "Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your request to God, and then the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." And that was a wonderful, divinely appointed, changing time in her life. Then she wrote this: "I began to thank God for giving me this one of her children, whom she loved so much, dearly in the first place. I even thanked him for the difficult spots, which has taught me so much. And you know what happened? It was as if someone turned on the lights in my mind and heart, and the little fears and worries, which, like mice and cockroaches, had been nibbling away in the darkness, suddenly scuttled for cover. That was what I learned, that worship, that was when I learned that worship and worry cannot live in the same heart. They are mutually exclusive." Worry, worship, they can't happen in the same heart at the same time. Pardon me. So if you're worrying, change it to worship. Thankfulness, thanksgiving, is the opposite of discontentment. Thankfulness, thanksgiving, is the opposite of anxiety. And thankfulness and correctiveness, at least thankfulness and thanksgiving, is the correctiveness for sadness and grief. Excuse me for a moment. One day, this is the final illustration for today, one day a prominent family of a local congregation called their pastor to let him know that their son had an accident in the woods. And the accident was he was cutting down a tree. It was a big tree, and the tree fell on him. And when he was quite a ways in the woods, so it took a while for the ambulance people to get there. And when they finally got there, they looked at him and they realized that this boy may be paralyzed from the waist down. So the pastor was really quite concerned about this, and he wanted to go and speak to the family at the hospital and try and provide some encouragement for them. Incidentally, he was just preparing his message for the next Sunday, and it was on Psalm 100. So let me read Psalm 100. "Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs. Know that the Lord is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name, for the Lord is good, and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations." That's what the pastor was working on. That's what the psalm was, Psalm number 100. And then he went to the hospital. And when he went to the hospital, the father of the boy, of the injured boy, came to him. And listen to what this man said. It's a lesson for all of us. "Pastor, I want you to know that my wife and I are first of all thankful that our son is still alive. Second, We're thankful that God, we are thanking God that it wasn't the upper part of his body that was paralyzed. And thirdly, though we don't understand why, we know God is good and that somehow in the midst of this, he has a plan for our son's life that must go beyond anything that we can imagine. Though it is hard, and we wish it hadn't happened, we have committed to our God, for he is good. That's what the father of the boy said to the pastor. The pastor went to encourage the family, but he left, and he was encouraged, and he went back to his study and prepared his message on Psalm 100. You probably heard these words: enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to the Lord and praise his name, for the Lord is good and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations. Praise be to God, his faithfulness continues through all generations, down to and including ours and the generations ahead until the time that he returns. On this Thanksgiving Sunday, let me ask you a question. Is the race of life wearing you down? That's the question. Well, here's a challenge. Try a moment of thanks. Enter his gates with thanksgiving. Enter his courts with praise. Determine to be thankful to him and bless his name. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, make your request to God. And when you do, the peace of God that passes understanding will keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Father, we thank you for this Thanksgiving Sunday. We thank you that deep in our heart, we can be ever so grateful, ever so thankful to you. And Lord, for this, we give you praise. Thank you for this Thanksgiving Sunday. May we constantly thank you. This is the basis of our prayer. We praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. I invite our musicians to come to their instruments. We're going to sing together a hymn called Jesus, I Come. Now, in many ways, this is a hymn of invitation. In fact, it is filled with contrast. Out of my bondage, sorrow and night, Jesus, I come. Into thy freedom, gladness and light, Jesus, I come. Out of my shameful failure and loss, into thy glorious gain of thy cross. Out of the unrest and arrogant pride, into the blessed will to abide. Out of the fear and dread of the tomb, into the joy, the light of thy home. This is a hymn of contrasts, and it's a time when you might want to take this opportunity, if you never have, to put all your trust in Jesus as Savior and Lord. So Jesus, I come. Jesus, I come to you. I come to you because I no longer can rely on myself. I rely on you to help me and lead me through every aspect of my life.